Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with producer Rosemary Brandt. Rose and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Wednesday, our midweek edition, September 24th, 2014. We are broadcasting live on AM 1030, the very powerful news talk station, KVOI, with live streaming at my website, buckmastershow.com, and at kvoi.com, so you have a couple of choices there. And then, of course, podcasts, and then our complete show archive. You can have that available for you 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. A very full agenda, as usual, during our noon hour. We'll get things rolling with our candidate interview series, spotlighting today Diane Douglas, Republican candidate for Arizona Superintendent of Public Instruction. About 20 past the hour, Alex Rodriguez from the Arizona Tech Council joins us. 30 past the hour, the interview series continues as we talk with Democrat State Representative Damian Klinko of District 2. Then our historian Ken Scoville will close out the program. We'll be previewing Tucson Modernist Week, Preservation Week that is coming up. The Buckmaster Show live line is 790-2040, and the Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster. But let's get right now to the live line and Diane Douglas. Miss Douglas, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me on the show, Bill.
Well, thank you very much. And you have been running a campaign based on a promise to repeal the program, the academic standards known as Common Core. These were English and math guidelines that the state adopted in 2010. Formally, I guess they're known as Arizona's College and Career Ready Standards. If we were to replace them, what would you, as superintendent, move toward replacing them with?
Well, I would like to see them replaced by standards that we have developed and we control here in Arizona so that we can adjust them as we see fit for our children and our specific needs here in Arizona. We must ensure that any standards that we develop are academically valid. Common Core were created. They were put in place. They've never been tested. They've never been benchmarked, although they tell us that's the case. That's not the case, and we need to make sure the way we're educating our children will lead them to lifelong success.
What, in a nutshell, your bottom line, your message, what is wrong with these standards, the Common Core standards?
Again, they've never been tested. They've never been validated. We know that the test is driving the curriculum and is driving what's happening in the classroom, and that's totally backwards. Any test and any testing that should be done should validate the learning that takes place in the classroom. And these are all the components that are missing from this this set of standards that were developed basically behind closed doors.
Is it safe to say, and your critics have said that you're a one-issue candidate? Is that accurate?
Oh, I don't believe that's accurate. If you look at the agreement, the memo of understanding that the Arizona unelected state board put in place with the federal government, it controls what we teach our children, how we test our children, how we evaluate and compensate our teachers, how we evaluate our schools. It also mandates massive data collection on our children, and the testing procedure is all online, which will effectively steer education spending for who knows how long. If you're talking about our children, our teachers, our schools, and our financing formula, that's pretty all-encompassing of an agenda that has been foisted upon us without our consent. If there is one issue of this election, in my opinion, the one issue is who controls the education of our children. Should it be the state? And we know that's constitutionally accurate. Our parents, our classroom teachers, or should it be driven by the federal government in Washington, D.C.? That's the difference between my opponent and I. I believe we Arizonans are fully capable of educating our children for them to have successful futures.
Diane Douglas is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. A couple of people would like to ask you questions, Diane, so we'll have at it. Tom is up first. Go ahead, Tom.
Diane, should there be, for those students who might benefit from it, bilingual education in grades kindergarten through third grade before full immersion in fourth grade?
Okay. All right, Diane.
I believe our children need to become fluent in English immediately, mm-hmm. as soon as they're enrolled in schools. We need to make sure they have the tools that they need to be successful.
Okay, another question for you, Diane, and this one's been in the news about debates. Jesus has a question. Go ahead, Jesus.
Hello, ma'am. So I live in Pima County, and as a Pima County constituent, I want to see more debates in the standpoints of both candidates. I know it's been up to like 16 or 17 debates now that you've either declined, pulled out of, and you are mandated by the Clean Election to do the debate tomorrow, but will you be interacting more with the voters, or are you going to continue to be in hiding?
Okay. Go ahead, Diane.
I have been very actively involved out with all the voters of the community. We have a Clean Elections debate tomorrow night on Horizon PBS. It'll be televised, I believe, at 5:30 in the evening. And it'll be available to all the voters of Arizona. And I'm looking forward to that debate.
Yeah, that will be up on the public station up in Tempe, KAET, that debate. Now, getting back to Common Core, interesting piece in the Arizona Republic, Diane, on Sunday about that repealing Common Core standards isn't something that really could be done if you are elected overnight. This would require time, correct?
Oh, I believe that's absolutely the case.
Uh-huh.
And we don't want to do anything. We want to make sure that our children receive the absolute best education possible. So we need to make sure when we put in place standards that truly belong to Arizona, that Arizona, the community, Arizona's families, parents have all had input into, that we do it in a way that we know they are academically sound standards. And that will take some time. It will take some public hearings, exactly like should have occurred before basically the rug was pulled out of Arizona in our education system back in 2010.
When it comes to the English and the math guidelines, do you have a preference? Are they both wrong as far as when they fall under the Common Core guidelines, or is one less a problem than another for you?
They're both very onerous. First of all, we know, while we cloak them in the title of Arizona College and Career Ready Standards, first of all, we know standards can't be both college and career ready, and we know from the people who created the standards behind closed doors that they themselves admit that the math standards will not prepare children or students for selective four-year universities. They're geared to community college level. They don't have the degree of math in them that would be appropriate for higher level education. What we've been talking about for years, STEM education, we need to boost our science, technology, engineering, and math majors, and this is not the math program that will, even by the creators' own admission, will prepare our children for that. English language, they're gearing them too much towards informational reading and not enough towards the classical literature that helps make a well-educated human being. And in my opinion, that should be the goal of our education system, making a well-educated human being, not just someone that has enough schooling to get a job.
Okay, Diane Douglas with us, former board member. Is that correct? You were former board member of the Peoria, Arizona School Board. Did I get that correct?
Yes, I was served 8 years on the board of the Peoria Unified School District, and at the time I took my seat, we were the third largest district in the state. I served 2 years as that board's president.
Okay, let's go back to the Buckmaster Show live line. Another question for Diane Douglas. This comes from Christopher. Go ahead, Christopher. You're with Ms. Douglas.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. Ms. Douglas, I know you've been campaigning rather feverishly around the state and so forth. What are you hearing from the teachers specifically about Common Core? Any pros, any cons? What are you hearing overwhelmingly? Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Overwhelmingly, and while I recognize that this is anecdotal, not scientific, overwhelmingly, I'm hearing that teachers are not supportive. I've only spoken to a very small handful that actually liked teaching under the Common Core. Many I've heard from, they feel that it's taking away their ability to really work in the classroom doing what they do best, which is knowing their content and interacting with their children and their students in a way that really brings learning alive. And that's what we need from our teachers. We need them working one-on-one, not following a script from Washington or not following a bunch of cold numbers on some pie chart or piece of paper. We need to let our teachers do what they do best, and that spark that fire in our children so that they will achieve the best that they possibly can.
How would you characterize, Diane Douglas, your campaign? Has it been grassroots? I mean, how is the support lining up for you?
I'd say we have a very good, yes, it is a grassroots campaign. You know, I am a clean elections candidate, publicly funded, so I'm not taking money from special interest groups or any outside influences. And we've just been so thankful for all the volunteers that we've had literally across the state come forward and recognize what an important issue the education of our children is, how important it is for parents to be involved, and you know, they're not going to sit down. There's been some silly accusations that I expect parents to literally write curriculum. Of course not. But they have to be at the table helping make the decisions that are so important to their children's future. And they've been locked out up to this point.
I've only got time for one more question, and I can't get the caller on the air because we are out of time, but the question had to do with that $300 million lawsuit that the legislature will be facing in the new session. Any thoughts on that, Diane?
A couple of thoughts really quickly. First of all, right now it is at the legislature and with the governor, but depending how the court case rules out, we need to make sure that money gets into the classroom, not wasted on bigger bureaucracy or unproven schemes. We also need to look at new ways to bring money into our education system without overburdening our taxpayers. And one excellent way we can do that is with the use of our state lands. They've been grossly underutilized, and we need to put that in place to be working for our children and for our children's future.
All right, Diane Douglas, we appreciate you spending part of your lunch hour with us here on the Buckmaster Show. Where can people find out more about you? Would you direct them to your website, please?
We have a website, DianeDouglas.com, and that'll be, we're revamping and revising that, so they'll be able to look for some new and updated information very shortly. We have a Facebook page, Facebook.com/DianeDouglasSPI. Or they can follow us on Twitter @_DianeDouglas.
Okay, thank you, Diane.
Bill, thank you so much for having me on.
All right, 12:18 on the Buckmaster Show. We will continue with the midweek edition. We're on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, live streaming at KVOI.com and BuckmasterShow.com.
Are you participating in the 2014 El Tour de Tucson, presented by Casino del Sol Resort? Well, head on over to Silver City, New Mexico on October the 4th for the 4th annual Desert Springs Physical Therapy Gila Monster Grand Fondo. It's the perfect tune-up for El Tour at 103 miles with over 9,000 feet of climbing. Once finished, participants can visit the Little Toad Brewery and Distillery in downtown Silver City for a discounted meal and a drawing for a stay at the Southwest Inn at Sedona. More information is at tourofthegila.com. That's tourofthegila.com.
Are you chemically sensitive? Worried about exposing your family and pets to chemicals sprayed around your home?
Five-Star Termite and Pest Control may be your answer. Our patented treatment process has been used on many chemically sensitive families' homes. Homeowner and pet interaction with the termite barrier is rare because it's held safely within the wall void. We won't treat the soil in the yard where your pets and children play.
Five-Star Termite and Pest Control. Treating the termites' food, not the earth. 886-0045.
We're Five-Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at DevereauxArizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Get Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 per month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get your first month free. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 1/4/15. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's 12:23 on this midweek edition. The Arizona Technology Council is gearing up for some really exciting events this fall. And we want to welcome now to the Buckmaster Show for his return visit, Alex Rodriguez. Alex is now Vice President for the Southern Arizona Regional Office of the Arizona Technology Council. Alex, how are you?
Fantastic. Mr. Buckmaster, it's great to be back.
Well, we're pleased that you've actually moved up now. You're a vice president at the Tech Council, and things have been going pretty well. It's a learning process for many people to try to, you're educating people about that how important technology is and what an
Absolutely.
Economic driver this is.
In fact, we're associated with the Technology Councils of North America, Bill, which combined represents well over 22,000 companies across North America, Canada, the United States, and we're working on Mexico as well for the activities happening there. But what's unique about that is it gave me a window into what's happening in terms of technology in other regions in our country. And here in Southern Arizona, my fundamental belief is that there's no question technology and innovation will help accelerate the economic growth of this region.
The Southern Arizona Tech and Business Expo is coming up. Tell us about that. That's going to be on October the 15th at Westin La Paloma.
It is. Yes, this is the signature and, if you will, the largest tech event in Southern Arizona. We're very excited about it. We build it where technology and manufacturing connect, Bill. And the idea is very simple. We will fill the ballroom with companies from across the state. They are manufacturers, they're technologists, they're entrepreneurs, they're business leaders, and all with the simple idea to grow the economy and to do more business. Obviously, with a technology slant, so we have two powerhouse panels that are focused on business growth issues, particularly with technology and the resurgence in manufacturing.
How do people get more information if they'd like to attend?
On our website. They can register by going to aztechcouncil.org.
I want to recognize some of the Tucson folks, the high-tech folks who have been nominated for awards this year for the governor's celebration of innovation. It's important that these people be recognized because
yes.
Tucson is and increasingly becoming a major player in the overall state's tech scene.
That's correct. Since the franchise took off, the Governor's Celebration of Innovation, which is the largest tech event of the state, you know, Southern Arizona has fared very well, Bill. And so it's not surprising that this year the innovator of the year in the small business category is a company called Syncardia Systems Incorporated, mm-hmm. based here in Tucson with advanced heart technology, really helping transform healthcare related to heart conditions. Large company, innovator of the year, is a company called Modular Mining Systems, a huge leader in the mining sector globally. And the third is innovator of the year is Secura Plane Technologies. Secura Plane is in the aviation sector and truly an award-winning company here in Oro Valley. So we're very excited about each
of them. And you want to include the academic area because that's very important as well.
Absolutely. That's one of our big focus areas is education and higher education in particular and STEM education. In this case, for Innovator of the Year in academia is the Herbie Pertheid Group. They are associated with the College of Sciences here at the University of Arizona. And as you know, we're increasingly focused on helping commercialize the research and development that's ongoing at the U of A. So the College of Sciences will be well represented in Phoenix. And the other is a teacher, a PhD level, but a high school teacher over at Pueblo Magnet High School who really knows how to captivate the hearts of young minds. That's Dr. Andrew Letts as Teacher of the Year.
Dr. Letts really gets it, doesn't he, this whole area of STEM, teaching science and technology and engineering and math.
He does.
Known as STEM.
Exactly. Forgive the acronym
yes,
there.
Yes,
but,
there you go.
Andrew Letts really captures the minds of the young students to consider the engineering, mathematics fields, and those are, of course, key to technology and innovation.
How are we growing, Alex Rodriguez? Do you have any idea how many people are employed in technology companies? Or give us kind of the big picture here.
Sure. Well, I've been on the job for close to 24 months now, mm-hmm. and what I've noticed is an increasing attention by policymakers, by business leaders, by investors in this sector. And the reason why is pretty obvious. There has been dramatic growth in the state of Arizona and certainly here in Southern Arizona. What we are seeing as a trade association in this space is increasing growth, increasing interest, and membership has gone up. So we're very excited about that. But also, I think what's important to know is that by utilizing technology, companies can actually leapfrog where they are in their life cycle and their market space. So for that, that is very important for this region in particular, Bill, since we don't have, let's say, corporate Fortune 500 headquarters in this region. It's really up to us to help cultivate these smaller tech firms into potentially larger businesses.
And you need to get the story out, and I know you worked very hard during the last legislative session. That's so key that the lawmakers understand, hey, get on board with technology.
Absolutely.
It's generally in a very clean industry,
yes,
and the benefits certainly would outweigh the negatives.
It is. There's no question there. We will be releasing the 2015 public policy guide very soon that has a menu of different policy areas that we are involved in.
Okay, and again, the website, Alex Rodriguez, for more information about the Westin La Paloma event, October 15th.
Yes, it's aztechcouncil.org. Please join us.
Thank you very
today.
Much. Alex Rodriguez, Vice President, Southern Arizona Regional Office of the Arizona Technology Council. We will be right back.
This is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. When you step out of your shower, you expect to be refreshed and, of course, cleaner than when you stepped in, right? The fact is, hard water builds up on your shower doors, stalls, fixtures, faucets, and on you. Let's be honest. If it's on your shower door and fixtures, it's on your skin, your hair, appliances, and plumbing too. What a mess. But take it from me, save yourself a lot of trouble, money, and headaches by saying, hey, Culligan man, Culligan has been solving water concerns for over 60 years. Our Culligan representative will do a system evaluation to ensure you get the right solution for your home and family. It doesn't matter whether you have city or well water, Culligan can make your water better with an easy solution that fits any budget. Try a Culligan water system for only $9.95 per month on the first three rental payments with an annual service agreement. Call us at 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson, it's the way to go.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS, that's 571-7847.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tanqueverty Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Between now and Election Day, you're going to hear a lot of candidates here on the Buckmaster Show. We've already started to put a pretty good dent in our interviews. We're probably going to interview, 35, maybe 40 candidates before the whole thing is over. And up to the plate now is Damian Klinko, Democrat, representing the Legislative District number 2 in the Arizona House of Representatives. Mr. Klinko is president of the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation. And when Linda Lopez, state senator, resigned in 2014, Damian was a finalist for that position. Andrea D'Alessandro, a member of the Arizona House at that time, was selected. And then Damian Klinko was appointed to D'Alessandro's former seat in the state house. Kind of musical chairs. Hello, Damian.
Phil, thanks so much for having me on.
How's the campaign going?
It's been really terrific. It's been really grassroots, and we've been out all over the district, and it's just been really just so wonderful to hear from the people of Southern Arizona about the things that they're most concerned about and the things that they're looking forward to in the coming years in Arizona and what their fears and hopes and aspirations are.
What are their fears?
Well, people are really worried about our education system. It's the number one thing I hear about. They're concerned about the quality of the education, how much we're investing or not investing into schools. And that plays into really the second thing I hear, which is jobs and concerns about our job climate here in Southern Arizona and the lack of high-paying, diversified work.
You are in a three-way race, and of course, for folks that don't realize, and some people perhaps might not, that the two vote getters then will go on up to Phoenix for the 2015 and 2016 legislative sessions. Sessions, at least the 2015, is going to have a big question mark concerning this $300 million. Some say it's even more. This lawsuit that basically says, hey, the state of Arizona owes our public schools some money.
So you're absolutely right. I mean, I think this is going to be one of the defining issues of the next legislative session, this issue around the voter mandate to provide incremental increases in funding based on inflation to our education system, and that we started sweeping that as a legislature to backfill the budget. So we've basically been filling the budget on the backs of Arizona's children, and that has to stop. I am actually just stunned that there are people in this state calling for an appeal to the decision that the Supreme Court made that said we needed to fund it. We are in such desperate and sore need of funding our education system in this state. We are at the bottom of per pupil spending. And, when you go out and you visit schools and you hear the pressure that is on teachers who haven't received raises in years, and the turnover rate in our school systems and the amount of schools, even in TUSD, that don't have permanent teachers, I mean, we need to rectify the situation. And what I've heard from companies around the country and I've gone out and talked to people, is that they don't look at Arizona as a place to open new facilities because they perceive Arizona as not having having a job and workforce. And just recently, I mean, we received a D from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce for our education system. And that is a national, I mean, that is a national organization that is saying this is a place that doesn't have an educated populace. And if you're looking for a place to put your company, you're going to look for somewhere else. And we need to turn that around.
A repeal or a drastic compromise really would not be upholding what the letter of the law is. Yeah. And the letter of the law is that this was a voter mandate that these funds would go to the classroom.
Correct. Absolutely. So. I 100% support that decision and encourage all my colleagues to as well.
790-2040, 790-2040 on the Buckmaster Show live line. We're going to be going to caller Jim. Jim, how are you?
I am well. I'm very well. Thank you for having me on.
You're welcome.
Blake, a couple of quick questions. Somebody who grew up north of Fort Lowell and went to the Gregory School, pretty much lived there their entire lives, and whose job was to do nothing but preserve Fort Lowell, what do you bring of value to Legislative District 2? What do you know of transportation? What do you know of infrastructure? What do you know of so much as a fruit broker in Rio Rico?
So I've actually lived in where I live south of downtown on the south side of Tucson, and I've lived there for the last 5-6 years now. And I've actually, the work that we've done through the Preservation Foundation was really focusing on bringing economic development to disinvested parts of the community, whether that was the South Side or downtown or the Miracle Mile area. Dealing with issues about trade and about commerce and our infrastructure. I mean, I think we all drive on our roads and we see what's happening. And when you look at where the funds to fund our infrastructure are going, they're not going to our roads. They're being swept into our general fund. The continual sweeping of HERF by the state legislature is something that we need to stop. It's costing our counties dearly, and it's money that isn't available for other resources. And you can experience the reality of those cuts as you drive down Grant Road or the South Side or any of the residential streets that are littered with potholes. I have a deep, deep, deep commitment to Southern Arizona, to its people, and to our culture. I think that it has tremendous opportunity for that's why I'm running, is because I see so much opportunity here and I see so much potential. If we can just harness it and really build opportunities in the job climate, I think we as a region have just boundless potential.
Democrat Damian Klinko with us on the Buckmaster Show. Back to our live line, Dan has a question for State Representative Klinko. Go ahead, Dan. Hi, Dan.
I'm just really concerned about where he thinks his $300 million is going to come from. I have laid off several of my employees, and I've cut many others back below 30 hours to save on Obamacare. And these people are just barely getting by. Where does he think this $300 million is going to come from?
That's a huge question that if Mr. Klinko is elected, he and his colleagues will have to be dealing with. Go ahead, Damian.
So, you know, starting in 2008 and even earlier, this state began making significant cuts to corporate tax structure, particularly benefiting out-of-state companies. Have they been effective at jump-starting the economy? Maybe they have in central Arizona, but I don't think that they have been effective in jump-starting southern Arizona and our rural economies. I think we need to really evaluate what is working and what isn't working and then make adjustments. Additionally, there are a variety of things There are a variety of revenues that we don't go after. One easy example is electronic cigarettes. That's not something we tax in this state. And there's tens of millions of dollars in potential tax revenue that could go into the education system. And that's just one idea. I mean, I think we really need to look at things that work. We have over 35 tax credits in this state. And we don't have performance measures on finding out how effective they really are at jumpstarting the economy. Some of the beneficiaries of the tax credits have produced reports and demonstrate that they work, and others haven't. And so I think really taking a good look at our budget and really saying what is working and what isn't working, and invest in what has a return to our state and consider rolling back what doesn't.
It's going to have to be a dialogue with both Republicans and Democrats to solve this issue.
Yeah,
Would you agree with that?
No, there's no easy answer.
And some folks have said, well, if we elect a Democrat to the House, that basically the Democrat will be kind of out in the waiting room and not on the inside with the Republican lawmakers who are making the decisions in the House and Senate.
You know, the
what do you say to those people?
So, I mean, the democratic process is about a dialogue of discussions. It's about saying, you know, does this work? Does this not work? And really getting to, in the state, getting to 31 votes in the House. And those 31 votes come in a variety of different ways. You know, I voted with conservative members of the other side on particular issues, and I haven't on others. You know, it is a compromise to get to really tough solutions. And when you know, things like the overhaul of Child Protective Services, that really was a bipartisan effort where everyone came together and nobody was really fully happy with the end result, but everybody said we did something really good and we've made a difference in Arizona. So it's getting to those hard decisions. But if we don't make the hard decisions to invest in our education system, we are going to continue this vicious cycle of disinvestment in Southern Arizona, and we have to turn it into a virtuous opportunity.
Your website?
It is Clinco, C-L-I-N-C-O, the number 4, AZ.com.
Hey, and just to kind of segue into our next segment, Ken Scoville, who is our Buckmaster Show historian and contributor, is going to talk a little bit about something you're very involved with, switching gears here. Tucson Modernist Week is coming up.
It's coming up. It's an amazing event. It really celebrates the post-World War II history all over the region and is an opportunity to come out and really learn about the community in new and different ways and support local businesses.
Pretty good segue to...
Okay. Perfect.
Thanks a lot, Damian.
Thanks
Clinko.
So much, Bill.
Thanks.
I would certainly recommend American Openings for anybody.
I had an idea of what I could afford, and the price of these windows is the best in Arizona.
He told us about the warranty and the process of the work.
American Openings were very courteous.
They did not have to go in and restucco anything.
They installed these in one day, and I didn't think it was possible.
American Openings had no gimmicks. They were great.
They really improved the looks of my home.
Two thumbs up.
The choice for replacing your windows is clear. American Openings, Arizona's window manufacturer.
Are you planning a party or special event? Contact Arizona Party Rental, the number one party rental company in Southern Arizona. Here's what our customers are saying about us.
I'm Bruce Beach, one of the founders of the Tucson Festival of Books. The festival attracts over 100,000 people, 450 authors, and 250 exhibitors over a three-day period. We work with over 30 different vendors, and it's a pleasure working with Ken and the Arizona Party Rental team. They're one of the most professional group of people I've ever worked with. It's amazing how they can set up the entire U of A mall with tents, tables, and chairs everywhere in such a short period of time. It's impressive how Arizona Party Rental always comes through with a smile.
Thanks, Bruce. Hi, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. Take a page from the Tucson Festival of Books. With our vast selection of tents, tables, chairs, linens, and over 50,000 items in stock, we have event solutions for any occasion. Visit our showroom on Speedway just west of Alvernon or online at ArizonaPartyRental.net. Quality products, exceptional selection, and outstanding service. That's Arizona Party Rental.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cunada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Everyone is invited to tour Veterinary Specialty Center Tucson during its all-day 10th anniversary celebration Saturday, October 4th. There will be something for everyone, including live action in the surgery department and doctor dress-up for the kids. Plus, your tour pass doubles as a raffle ticket with a chance to win great prizes. Veterinary Specialty Center Tucson at North La Cunada Drive and West River Road, home of Specialty Vets for Special Pets. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? Well, not all news is good news. You know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. We have a very full agenda, as usual, during the noon hour here on AM 1030 KVOI. This portion brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. They have so much going on over there. It's unbelievable. The fall is a very busy season. If you've not been there, it's 3 hours east of Tucson. It's about 6,000-foot elevation. That translates into great mild days, cool nights. They've got the big... If you're into cycling, they have a great cycling event, a tour of the Gila, coming up on October 4th. You can find out about the places to stay, great places like Georgetown Cabins and things to do, lots to do, by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. Speaking of things to do, Tucson Modernism Week is coming up in early October. The Buckmaster Show historian contributor Ken Scoville joins me now. Ken, how are you?
Oh, I'm great, Bill.
Well, we talked a little bit about Damien. We're talking to Damien leading into this about Tucson Modernism Week. Of course, this is one of his babies. But the vintage trailer show is really cool.
Oh, I went to it last year. It's just fascinating seeing all these trailers that have been restored, and I thought, wow, if I had enough extra money, I'd like to have one. They had a pink Cadillac with a matching trailer last year, so it's a wonderful event.
Yeah, they've got some of the old 1940s, 50s kind of
Airstreams
trailers.
And Airstreams, yeah, Airstreams. And different colors and all that kind. And it's part of a much bigger event to really look at, celebrate modernism in the 1950s, and we've sort of wrapped in the Miracle Mile event with this year, and we're going to have some, I guess, speakers dealing with the founding of the Desert Museum, the founding and development of the Tucson Mineral Society and Gem and Minerals Show. We're going to have another historian talk about the 1950s in Tucson. And there's going to be that vintage bus trip that takes you through. And I'll be one of the narrators on the bus for several times.
And the neon that's been restored.
Yes, the neon. Cool. And there will be another talk on neon and give you a little sense of what the future is going to be for neon in Tucson.
Ken, I want to talk a little bit about something that's been in the news, the issues surrounding this very controversial rezoning of the Lazy K Bar Ranch in Marana. Folks may not understand that this is a big, big deal.
Yes, it is. And I've gotten involved with it from two reasons. First, the Lazy K Bar Ranch is actually an historic ranch that got started in 1932. Lots of historic buildings. I know that proposed development will only save one building. But probably for most people, the bigger issue is that this development is within a half mile of the Saguaro National Park. Currently, the area is all zoned rural density, one home per 2 acres under the Marana General Plan. And now they're pushing for a high density of possibly up to 176 homes on the former ranch.
And the Saguaro National Park, which is very close to all of this, has spoken up, folks there.
Right. In fact, they've sent letters over the last year and participated all along the way, and their voice has not been heard. I've talked personally with the acting superintendent, and it's a very important wildlife corridor that's going to be destroyed. It's critical habitat, and there just doesn't seem to be any flexibility with the developer on this.
Now, the rezoning and plan amendment was recently approved by the Marana Planning Commission. Did that commission, Ken Scoville, make any recommendations in regards to lowering the densities to meet the concerns expressed by the people at the park?
They did not at all. The only concession they made is they said the new residents, they would encourage them not to put plants in that would be invasive and spill into the park. But other than that, they didn't budge anything on maybe trying to save some of the historic buildings, protecting the wildlife corridor, and essentially they're moving it on to the council.
And the council will take up this issue on Tuesday, October 7th. This is a very important meeting. Are all indications are that no compromise is going to be made here?
Everything that I've seen so far. And I think there's a much bigger issue, and this is how I've gotten involved with this as an historian, that it has a wonderful legacy of why we have Tucson Mountain Park today and all the threats that have gone on in this area. In the 1920s, a wonderful gentleman by the name of Cornelius Brown, he was the agricultural agent for Pima County, and he knew this land, and this was being cut up for homesteading. So this was the first real threat. People could homestead land. So he went to Carl Hayden, Senator Hayden, said 30,000 acres needs to be protected. And Hayden finally lobbied and got that involved. And a year later, 1930, becomes Tucson Mountain Park.
The historic building there?
During the Depression, a lot of trails were put in through the whole park. And one of the major buildings was the Tucson Mountain House. And that is actually today the entrance and buildings that all of us know as the Arizona Sonoran Desert Museum. So it's a wonderful display of preservation, not only of historic buildings, but also of the land.
So what about the land that is now west, the west unit of the Saguaro National Park? Originally, this was part of Tucson Mountain Park.
Yes, 15,000 acres of it was part of originally of Tucson Mountain Park. And here's another preservation issue that's very timely with what's going on today. About 1958, 1959, this was supposed to now become open for mining, and they were going to put an open pit copper mine within almost visual sight of the Desert Museum. And the whole community rallied. Mr. Brown was still alive. He was there. And Mo Udall and Stuart Udall and all these voices came forward, and they said, no, this is wrong. We can't do this. And finally, the mining company backed down. Well, we're not doing open pit mining.
This went all the way to President Kennedy.
Well, what was the concern is because there were lots of mining claims in there in this area, in this specific region. And so Mo Udall and
Stuart Goldwater,
Senator Goldwater, all these people went to President Kennedy and said, this needs to be made into a national monument. So that would seal the issue as far as any kind of mining claims. And then that was through, and then there was another additional 5,000 acres added that time to help with the boundaries and also for preservation for the corridors. And then in 1994, all of both the east and west sections become Saguaro National Park.
The land in question, Ken Scoville, seems like a fairly small amount of acreage that is proposed for this higher density. Why is that a threat?
Well, it's just like everything else in this world. There's actually been an ongoing encroachment of higher density getting closer to the national park. Now this is going to impact view sheds. The people in the park are going to see high density housing as part of their experience. And there are other large parcels. This may be the first one to go, some that are 800 or 1,000 acres. And if that becomes the whole northern boundary in that area for the national park, all you're going to see is another town.
What's going to happen at the meeting? I assume the opposition will be there.
Well, we'll all be there. And one of these things, and I'm still being a retired teacher and involved with history a lot, the more voices we have elected officials, and I think if we got hundreds of people out there saying the national park is our park, it's the nation's park, and that we need to see a compromise.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what has the city said, or the town of Marana, what is their thinking?
The cards have been played very close. They haven't said anything, but everything indicating and talking to other people that are concerned, there's no movement by the council members.
And again, that meeting is coming up on
October 7th, Tuesday, October 7th.
Is that an evening meeting?
Yes,
then,
it is.
At the Marana Town Council headquarters. Okay. Thank you very much, Ken Scoville, for being with us. And of course, again, folks can find out more about Tucson Modernism Week by going to their website, which is TucsonMod.com. And as you say, there are several dozen
activities. And there's free events. Some events have fees on them, but it's just a really great time for all your different issues you have, shopping, retail, tours, all of that.
All right, Ken, thanks a lot for being with us.
You're welcome, Bill.
The Buckmaster Show, bottled water on our program provided by Culligan, better water, pure and simple. Thank you, Culligan, for your support of our work. Culligan, for all your year-round residential and commercial water needs. We are on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, home to lots of local talk, morning, noon, and afternoon. This afternoon, for Tucson at 4. Mike Shaw hosts that hour from 4 to 5. Then we get it rolling in the morning. Chris and Joe, Wake Up Tucson, 6 to 8. Christy Simone with his program called The Daily Double. Chris and a guest host every day. And then Rosemary Brandt, producer, and me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you on the Thursday edition at 12:04 tomorrow of the Buckmaster Show. Until then, have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.